Hey guys, Steve here. Yes, it is 2021. This is the Eternal Beta Podcast. No, this is not season 6. This is what we managed to scrap together of our Game of the Year episode conversations. We had a few various recording attempts, of which we ended up throwing out pretty much most of. And all I could do was listen through it all and pull together what sounded like the most coherent section of our attempts at recording through January. Turns out most of what we played on the Eternal Beta Podcast in 2020 was not released in 2020, not by far. There were lots of 2020 games, however, and we did play a lot of them, but not all of them we had a lot to say on. Weird rat. We will, however, coming up in our season 6 episodes, which will be maybe a week or two from when you're hearing this. So hang in there. So I hope you enjoy it. And it's just our opinions on what was our most played games of 2020, our favorite game of 2020, and what we're looking forward to in 2021. Hope you enjoy. Game of the Year edition of the Eternal Beta Podcast. It's finally here.
Party!
I thought this was Gotti.
Oh yeah, the Gotti episode. Sorry.
Good. I'm in the right place.
Covering all of the Mafia legends.
After the New York crime family, the Gottis, yes.
That's right, yes. Welcome, everyone. We've got with us tonight Master Dave.
Heidly ho, neighborinos.
And for the first time, all class Nick.
How you doing?
And Virtual George Anity.
Hi.
Welcome back. It's, you know, everyone's got their game of the year. We've seen a million videos, listened to a million podcasts. Everyone knows the games that are out there. But what really matters to the listeners is what we enjoyed. So, Nick, you're the newest member of the podcast. So why don't you take us through what 2020 was to you in games?
2020 was to me in games. Well, at the end of 2019, you convinced me to buy a video card after babbling to you for quite some time about my love for consoles. And so I bought a rather mediocre card at around November 2019 and then upgraded the whole computer around it Christmas Eve of 2019. So at the start of the year, I sort of kicked off with new hardware for my world and sort of this opportunity to play a bunch of games I'd bought on Steam with the hope of playing one day when I had the computer to do it. And I kicked off basically on the 1st of January. I had a rare day without the baby in the house and started playing Grand Theft Auto 5 and basically proceeded to put about 65 hours in all up between then and about the third week of January.
Yeah, right. So 2020 started off as a PC gaming year for you.
Yeah. And I have to say, with that break at the start of the year, the rest of the year was pretty hardcore with the baby and work. So that was the most time I got to play on a single game. So not only does that sum up, I guess, the start of the year for me, it was the most played game for me in 2020. Easy. I didn't put...
Yeah. So did you finish a game of GTA Golf in the end?
No, I didn't get there. I did see it. I think I had to go as part of a mission, but no, I didn't. I did play a lot of side missions, though, and I just sort of I got lost in it and had a great time. I didn't even touch the multiplayer, which I believe is what makes the game so big these days, but I was just smitten by the single player. I had tried to play them back in the day. I played 1 and 2, the top-down 2D games to death. By the time they went 3D, I thought they were cool, but I wasn't really into them. I always wanted to be into them. Yeah. And I got a good stab at 4 about 3 years ago on the PS3 and was really into that. But, you know, my PS3, I sort of just stumbled upon that. I didn't plan on buying it. I didn't play it much. But when I played that just took me away.
Well, 5's a good point to come back into things. Like, I mean, it did raise the bar. Was it a 2015 release? I think No, from memory? No, earlier?
It was 2013, I believe, because it was a 360 game.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of updated for Xbox One during its release, and then obviously PC. Version.
Yeah.
But, like, we've tried to play the online on PC, haven't we, Dave?
We've hopped on for a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we got very far. We tried to play a heist, and I think it was like the most hilarious hour and a half of our gaming history.
Yeah, well, that's what I would imagine.
We barely got anywhere in it.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine it'd be loads of fun if you teamed up with mates and, you know, worked together.
Yeah. So that's your most played PC game for the year, do you think?
Game on
or
anything.
Or just game.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
There is probably a good argument that I played Chess Ultra more on my Nintendo Switch, but I don't think that counts because I just wanted to play chess.
Right. And what about the PlayStation 5 games of which you are endowed?
Game I've played the most is Valhalla.
Mm.
And the most fun I've had on it was playing Miles Morales.
Yeah.
But my favorite game of 2020, to answer the first question, is probably pretty obvious to you boys who are in your Discord channel, is Last of Us 2.
Yeah, I mean, that's a solid pick.
Yeah.
What makes it your favorite game of 2020?
Well, I would probably say it'd be my favorite game post the year 2000. And
cool.
Yeah, it's... You know, I took a big break from video games. And in that time, I discovered loads of other factors that the world had in store for me, because up until that point, it was just basically video games. And one thing I really started to appreciate was storytelling. And I think Last of Us is probably one of the, you know, most immersive attempts at telling a story that you could come across. But then if you break it down to like the technical aspect... or the animations are phenomenal. The gameplay is very fluid. It grows very organically. It builds your skill up as it requires it. And it, you know, not only is this a fantastic story delivered in layers and nuance and unique ways, it's technically just, I wouldn't change any of it. Yeah.
Nice. That's huge. That's huge. Yeah. I mean, I haven't sat down with it yet. I am supposed to be in possession of it, but I do not have it currently. But it is, you've raised it so far up my list of need to play for this, you know, for that reason, of it being an extremely immersive storytelling experience, that I feel like I need to, feel it the way that you express your excitement for it. So
I'm glad I've motivated you to check it out. Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
By the way, what was the video card that you managed to purchase? Was it like a 1650 or something?
It was a 1060, 3 gigabit.
Nice.
Yeah, I spent $300.
Yeah. It's so weird thinking back to like that being a decent card, $300 in 2019.
Yeah.
And now look at things.
Yeah. You know, I can play loads of games at 30 frames a second on, say, medium.
Yeah.
You know, and then anything that's maybe 4 or 5 years or older, I can sometimes play it high at 30 and occasionally at 60.
Yeah, nice.
But, you know, like, you know, Hellblade, I can play at 60.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it depends on how optimized the titles are, I suppose. But, yeah. No.
So it had a lot of life. And, you know, I had PlayStation 4, so it was... mild step up from that for me. So
yeah, cool. All right, well, moving on to the TV, Dave. What, Dave, was your most played title of 2020?
So probably my most played title is the co-op part of StarCraft 2, to be honest with you. I mean, in terms of mind-numbing repetitive tediousness, but ultimately easy enough game to play that's relatively challenging. I spent quite a lot of time playing that, unfortunately.
So is that a campaign, or is it just like a kind of
there are about 11 maps that you can that just go through repeatedly with what is it, about 15 or so different commanders, each with their own different kinds of abilities. and there are unlocks for them, and you get XP to unlock things. And I've sunken a ridiculously long amount of time in it for what it is. It's a good 20-minute time waster. Totally brain off, totally fine.
Can you play it with, you know, any sort of randoms online, or do you kind of have to, you know, have your mate join
you matchmake with randoms. It is free to play up to a certain level. After a certain level, you have to pay for bits of it.
Mm.
So it's, as we know, Blizzard's really endorsing the loot box style model. You have to pay for everything. So that's what they've implemented now with StarCraft 2, no longer being updated by them, of course, as well.
Indeed. That's huge, because, like, again, that's both, it's two of you now that have, you know, most played games is, they're not recent, so it shows you the staying power of some of these older titles. When you've got a good game, it just hangs around.
Well, I think, as we were talking earlier, it was really hard to name games even we came out this year that we played.
Yeah.
And it's been a funny year of games. You think with everyone being home, it would have been like, here are all the games you can play and here are the new ones, and everyone's like, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, and we're still seeing the effects of it going into 2021 with delays of some big name titles and things. But let's keep it to 2020 for the moment. And so your favorite game of 2020, if you indeed played a game that released in 2020?
Yeah, so I think it is almost here. I see. I have trouble with this. It's almost a draw between Wasteland 3 and Command & Conquer Remastered. I think Wasteland 3 has to win it purely because it's not a remaster. It's actually, even though the original Wasteland came out in the 1980s, it's.
I saw an interesting fact about the original Wasteland. It didn't have. It had a whole book that had the story in it that came with it. So, like, there was the story wasn't really explained in the game. You had to refer to the book to certain sections. The game would point you to it.
That's a very old gameplay technique, is it? The discs weren't big enough to actually hold all that text. So they literally have to have the text in a printed book. So it would say literally, read paragraph 47, and you would go read paragraph 47.
Was it one of the best things about gaming and back in the day was all the materials that would come with the game?
Absolutely. I mean, I miss rolling dice and felt maps and like cheat books that you had to hold a little. Actually, do you remember the highlighter pen ones where you had to you wanted to reveal a clue and you had to get the highlighter pen to draw across it, and then eventually that would fade, so it wouldn't even work with the pen anymore.
I always found that an issue because I would have lots of pirated games but no instructions or no book. And you'd be like,
you didn't have the copy protection discs or the code page on page 3, which was in orange, so you couldn't photocopy it.
Yeah, or just the story, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Because back then, I'd get two games a year.
So nice. It was between Wasteland 3 and
Command & Conquer Remastered.
Command & Conquer Remastered, yeah. Okay, cool. And you've been smashing quite a bit of that lately, right?
Well, my challenge was to try and beat it. I'm trying to beat Red Alert on hard. Beating Command & Conquer on hard is probably a bit too much of a stretch for me, and probably a bit too tedious. Because what people forget is that Command & Conquer is brutally hard to begin with.
Yeah. There is like a tipping point where you kind of feel like you've got enough of an army to kind of just smash through everything of a level. But if you haven't got there and then you try, you will get decimated.
I could be fine as GDI, but I sucked as Nod. I couldn't finish it with Nod.
Can we talk about how good it is, how little they tampered with it? Like how faithful they are to the original?
Well, literally, you press the space bar, right? You can go back to the old graphics just to remind yourself. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And you've even got zooming in and out cameras, so you can literally go from 640x480 mode to 320x200 mode if you were really into it.
Yeah, cool.
If you really wanted to remember what it was like playing in DOS. Again, you can switch to the old music if you want to. It's all there in a big jukebox. I'm not a fan of the new music. I'm much for the old music, but that's just because of the emotional connection I have with it. Everything works fine. The only one thing I've noticed, that they fixed a small bug relating to mobile gap generators, and there is a little bug there in relation to the service depot. That was already there, but it's now just a slightly different bug.
Yeah, weird.
Well, there was an attempt.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've played a good bash of the Nod campaign, but I need to really sit down and kind of try all the different modes of both of Red Alert and the main game. But decent effort, and weirdly out of EA too, right?
That's right. For all the bad talk we give EA, I mean, they basically said, you know, here's all the good community work that's done there. We want to do the right thing and release it at a decent price.
Indeed. You know, so if you were to toss a coin then...
Yeah, I think Wasteland, literally because it is new. And it actually, everyone who likes Wasteland will poke everyone and tell them, no, Fallout has actually come from Wasteland. Remember, Wasteland's the better one. Wasteland, 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 they'll say. It actually did... Wasteland better than the second one did, even though the second one is more of a, I think as I said earlier, is more of a homage to the first and probably represents what the first game tried to do a bit more. We've kind of moved on since then, need to have the gameplay a bit more focused and a bit and the storyline a bit more focused, which Wasteland 3 does at the start. Doesn't necessarily do at the end, but it does it at the start anyway.
So moving on to George, you
take a guess what my most played game. Dirt Rally 2 is currently sitting on 1,310 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, the majority of that would have been done in 2020.
Yeah, yeah. And most of it live streamed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there would be, yeah, probably 80-90%. Was streamed. I'll have to see how many hours I streamed sometime.
Yeah, I mean, that's
see how many hours of Dirt Rally 2 I streamed, but yeah.
Mm, that's it was 3 or 4 hours three times a week at least for most of 2020. Yeah,
that's exactly. That's more than a whole family's entire time spent at church.
Yeah. Second place probably was Microsoft Flight Simulator.
And that's substantial because it was only a good couple of months at the end.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, it was less than half of a year. It was maybe 5 months of a year. Mm. I don't really think much else really would have come close.
Yeah, I mean, when you pop 1,300 hours into one game, there's not a lot left over, right?
I'm just curious how much I ended up putting into Hades because that was a that was pretty special for me. Really, it really worked with my schedule and my lifestyle. 132 hours,
nice
into Hades. So that was a decent run. Not currently installed in my machine anymore.
Yeah.
Was that a
protective measure, or you just needed the hard drive space?
I don't think it takes a huge amount, and. More hard drive space actually than anything else.
Okay.
Maybe. Even if it wasn't a huge amount, I think I only uninstalled it when I got the new GPU last year and I was installing everything. Maybe even if it was only to, you know, I'd install 100 gig to run a benchmark for 20 minutes and then it'd be like, right, you know, what's the next thing that's got a benchmark? Or what's the next thing I can see what it's like on ultra graphics and I cycled through a lot of games and there's still some more games I might want to do that with but I haven't done yet.
Indeed. So most played game of 2020, was it also your favorite game of 2020 or does that crown go to another title?
If we're talking about games that were released in 2020,
let's go with that.
Then yeah, look, it's Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Oh,
it has to be because of the amount of hours I spent, because of how much it drew me in, and because of how much on hardware I end up spending because of.
The you still play it?
Still, yeah. I was playing it today.
That should be a category of how much hardware a game makes you buy. largest amount spent on playing a single game.
Most amount of time spent troubleshooting bugs just so you can bloody play a game.
Yeah. Oh, well, you'd have a lot in that category with the motion rig and the wheels and the peripherals
and VR
now. Yeah. It gets complicated, that's for sure. I mean, having VR myself as well has also increased the difficulty of actually kind of getting into a game to play it. But for some reason, it's worth it though, right?
What's fantastic as well is you go through, you know, like it's a flight simulator, so there's a pre-flight checklist of things. Even loading up these games now, you've got your pre-game checklist to load up, and you get everything in the right order, and you get settled in, and you take off, and you've got your VR on, and everything's going, and suddenly you hear your name called.
Yeah. And you've got to pause. Yeah. You've got to
disentangle and
get your headphones
down in the right spot. And oh, geez, that's great.
At least with Flight Sim, like your stick and your throttle and things, like, or your yoke maybe, might, like, they're kind of permanently set, so you don't have to deal with those. I've noticed in a few other VR games where you've got, like, you've got your wands or whatever it is you're using in your hands, and you've got to kind of, like, put them down and remember where they are, and then get your headset off, and then, like, you know, then get out of your chair, and yeah, it's a tangle of wires and things going on. But look,
meanwhile, I think about people who have a Switch. They go, pause, put it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So Flight Sim 2020.
I did about 40 hours of The Witcher and never even closed the game.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the number of times that Flight Sim has crashed on me since launch.
Yeah.
And especially in VR, which I know George is struggling with at the moment.
I got another category of a game that you spent the most hours on YouTube researching so you can play it. That's Microsoft Flight Sim again. But
trying to get it, yeah.
I think I'd take crashing over my experience because I can't get the plane off the ground.
Ow.
Usually can't get it to move.
Another challenge. Steve, what was the game you spent the most amount of time in 2020?
Well, funnily enough, George, it also happens to be Microsoft Flight Simulator at the end.
It wins.
Surprising no one.
But if I may comment, I think out of everyone I know, you might be the one person who perhaps distributes his gaming hours across the broadest number of titles out of everyone I know. It could be you.
Could be.
It could be you. You try everything.
Can we ask you both why you find it so special?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go first in that I grew up playing early PC games and flight simulators and racing simulators and all that sort of stuff was key and core to early PC gaming, games for dads back then. That experience is never that sense of wonder of like this. Yeah. I can't do this in the real world, but here's like a version of it. Imagine like you were doing that, like, and that passion, like it, I don't go to the levels in terms of recreating the experience that George does, but the sense of wonder and like the imagine if you were really doing this kind of thing, that feeling just is something I want to experience, you know, like, and this one particularly, like, you know, I have tried other ones in the past, just the, it blows you away graphically, when you first experience it. And especially so in VR, the sensation of lifting off and banking and things like, may experience some actually real vertigo while doing some of those things.
Or from your bedroom.
Yeah, and then the experience of learning, you know, learning the actual pre-flight checklist, like you said, and how to go from cold starts into, like, and you start to get really into it. You start to get, like, interested in flight and general aviation, I suppose. And, you know, why not jump in a 747 or an A320 and give that a go and run that into the ground some poor far away city.
Isn't it a good time to be in your late 40s? I mean, say like late 30s. when you think about what you just said, how you grew up with the technology basically, and you loved those type of games back then, they were seeded in the 80s, you know, and you flew flight simulators then, and now how much they sort of match up to your imagination at this point in time, you know. I always think back to Zelda when I played the first Zelda in the 80s. In my head, I was doing what I now do in Breath of the Wild, what Breath of the Wild looks like, you know.
Of course.
And it's just such a great time to not only be into video games, but have been there since basically grew up with you. But yeah, yeah, that's so cool.
It's like experiencing what you always imagined it to be, kind of the, we now have the technology to kind of have these worlds realized.
It's the same thing that makes, you know, going to, sometimes, not always, but can make going to watch a feature film of a novel that, you know, you were very familiar with when you were young. Like, for me, it was Lord of the Rings. Like, you know, that whole, you know, I read the trilogy a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I had these images in my head about certain scenes and there was trepidation as well, like going to watch it, you know, what's...
Yeah, they're going to steal my
idea.
What
am I going to see, you know? Is this going to be... But the number of times that it was almost spot on, and I was like, wow, you know? Like I'm not the only one who, when reading these pages, pictured things in this way.
Yeah,
it's remarkable, and it is that exact same sort of thing when we've gone from 8-bit... You know, and suddenly we're in 3D. It's a bit, you know, low poly. But then now what we've got, it's quite remarkable.
Yeah, totally.
But for me, the simulator thing is a little bit different. It's a little bit different because I didn't grow up, you know, really into cars, really into flying. I really got into cars and driving when I got my license. I sort of have a tendency to, you know, once something takes my interest, I sort of dive extremely deep into things. But, you know, once I started driving, that's when I started to get interested in cars and vehicles and stuff. So I imagine somebody, like if I were 20 or 30 years displaced earlier, so, you know, I was born in the 50s instead of the 70s, for example.
Yeah.
Reaching the sort of age I am now, what would I do to continue my interest? I'd make sure I had a garage full of tools. I'd buy a project car.
You'd have a comb in your hair?
Yeah, and all my spare time, I'd be tinkering with a car. I'd be trying to organize for track days or to drive a car out somewhere, you know. So when it came time for me to go, all right, well, I've got something that I can, I've got some spare income. I can do something with it. Do I buy a project car? But, you know, I'm into PCs and I'm looking at PC gaming, I'm looking at simulators, and I'm looking at sim rigs, and I'm like,
do I just buy project cars?
Why don't I just buy, like, instead of buying a real car and playing with it, why don't I just buy a sim rig?
That's it.
I can simulate all of these cars, you know, tonight.
Dial you for money.
I feel like going to the Nordschleifer in Germany, and then 10 minutes later, I'm in North America at Laguna Seca. Like,
and it costs significantly less to destroy those cars than your own, right?
Can I ask, when you discovered pornography, did you think, this kills two birds with one stone?
Which two birds? Most played runner-up would have been Red Dead Redemption 2, though. I'd spent most of my time playing and completing that game in 2020 during lockdown. So that's a strong contender for most played time. I spent a lot of time in Forza Horizon 4 as well,
Okay, but if we were to now look at a 2020 release,
yes. Okay, game. so my favorite game of 2020. There was a couple that came close because I did sample significant number of releases comparatively of 2020 titles. So, I mean, I briefly saw Valhalla with Nick. That was no big deal. Did play some Warzone. Did play Command & Conquer Remastered. Did play Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. Crusader Kings 3, Deep Rock Galactic, which isn't really a 2020 release so much as it got really popular in 2020. Desperados 3, I've had a ball at. Doom Eternal, only a small go. Fall Guys, a fair few rounds. We've got Grounded in there. Hades, definitely been pumping time into that. Half-Life Alyx, I'm one of the only people that I know who's actually played a substantial amount of that.
So jealous.
And then, then Flight Sim, Pillars of Eternity 2, I didn't get around to starting, but I own it. Star Wars Squadrons, Streets of Rage 4, Tetris Effect Connected, and I didn't actually end up playing Wasteland 3. So anyway, there's a substantial number of titles from 2020 that I did try my hand at or put some time into.
I'd hate to be behind you at an ice cream store. You'd be like, I'll try that one.
And that one.
Well, I'll have the whole of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Look, for me, and this is going to break the mold here, but it actually surpassed Flight Simulator in impact on me in 2020, and that was Half-Life Alyx. I thought about this for a long time. I thought about like whether the short amount of time that I was able to experience it in 2020 was worth outdoing everything else that came out in 2020. So yes, within those few short days of me having a VR headset and Half-Life Alyx, thank you, Dave, who bought it for me, before I then went away on a holiday. So this actually happened in 2020. That game,
double-edged sword holiday.
Yeah, it struck me in a way that no other VR title has. And no other video game did in 2020 by purely convincing me that I am in a different place and I have the capabilities of being a character in a narrative style story who's like has agency in that world to yank things from across the room into my hand, to throw things, to talk to weird, strange aliens, to reload my gun in a really satisfying way. So it's just, and then visually, like the clarity, the attention to detail of the texturing of everything.
Yeah.
You spend like everyone. I've put a few people in it at my house for 15, 20 minutes, whatever. And the kind of opening sequence where you're just standing on a balcony as Alyx, and there's a radio there, and there's a book on the ground. There's some Coke cans and stuff. Not Coke cans, but cans of drink, and some packets of things. And seriously, like no one even wants to move anywhere at first. They're just kind of they look around and go, oh, look, there's a bird. Oh, cool. Oh, wow. What's that? And then they're just kind of like looking around, pointing at things. I'm like, here, look, you can use the controls. You can move your fingers and you can close your fist, and that's your first finger, and this is your other fingers, and this is your thumb. And like, they're like, oh my God. And then, reaching for things and picking it up and turning it around, and just kind of like, they haven't even thought about going anywhere yet. They're just thinking about like how cool the world is.
Yeah.
And that was cool to watch as well as experience. Like, it was the same feeling I had when I did it though. And then the next person tries it and they have that same like reaction to it. And it's, So for that reason, it is my favorite game of 2020.
See, that reminds me of our original VR episode, Steve, where we went and played golf at Jeff's place of work. And everyone, whilst we were playing golf, did try and flip the club in the air and catch it again instead of playing golf.
Yep.
We were more interested in seeing how the interactiveness worked rather than the actual game itself.
And I've heard Boneworks is good for that reason as well. Boneworks is a title that kind of does simulate the physics of the world that's in to a T. It's on the list along with every other VR title, to go down and play. But look, it was a close one because I'm putting VR at the top, not just because it's not the first time I've experienced it, but it's the first time I've had it at home. And with the HP Reverb G2, like, it's just such a high fidelity headset that, like, this year I was blown away by VR. And that's not the case of the previous generations, where the screen door effect's been annoying, the resolution's been a bit low, the sweet spot's all, you know, like, so there's been some decent headsets over time, but, like, now I feel like we're on that precipice now of, like, you're getting a decent thing that you're not going to complain that much about in terms of what it looks like. The peripherals and things like that, yeah, there's, you know, other things to think about with VR, but the experience of it when it's working is just fantastic.
But the way you talk about it, the amount of attempts at motion control in the last, like, 15 years since the Wii, it's the first time anyone's ever gone, yeah, this is the first time it's been right. Every other time someone's tried to explain that there was some sort of compensation you had to make to get to that. It's the first time anyone's just gone, like, yeah, Half-Life Alyx and the controls, I don't have it, and don't know what the setup's like, but everyone's just like, and when they talk, they become Italian in their hands.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so excited to play it, but, like, the rig you need, it's dedication. So I'm jealous as.
That's right. And look, yeah, I don't want to overstate it too much. Like, the G2's controls, for example, aren't fantastic. And we'll do that in another episode and things. But yes, you need a high-powered rig to run it, for example. Having said that, Alyx does run extremely well. So
I'm sure, yeah.
All right, enough of it. Game of the years of 2020. We've had our say. What do you think, guys? Do you think that the reviewers out there, the gaming press, has it right, or do you think that it's just everyone's preference as to what they enjoy? Let's go around the table.
Both of what you said were right. So, you know, the gaming press has their opinion and the gamer does, you know? And it doesn't matter what anyone else's is. You have your own, you know? Sitting in your couch is different to sitting in someone else's couch. No, no groundbreaking revelations. Maybe Command & Conquer, which I fully back, might be one that I hadn't heard on a game of the year yet, which is probably the most unique out of all of us.
It really depends on why something becomes your game of the year, I guess.
Yeah. That's right. Well, that's what I mean by sitting in my couch is different to yours, is you're coming at it from a different angle. But, you know, when I saw some of the major publications and their lists, I'd be like, yeah, I can see.
Yeah, they were pretty common. You know, Last of Us Part Two, Alyx was always in there. Hades was always there.
You had a couple unmentioned tonight. You had things like Doom Eternal,
yeah.
Ghost of Tsushima came up on a lot of lists. Yeah, there's a couple. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with any of those. The year before, like, when Game of the Year went to Control, I was a bit like, when that was nominated, I was just like, that's a bit weird. But, like, it's a cool game and all, but, like, if it came out, you know, probably either year on either side of it, I wouldn't have had a chance, you know. But last year, it was just like, yeah, that all sounds fair. Even Hades is like a stretch, but also you play it and you're like, yeah, that's pretty tight.
Yeah, the more you play Hades, the more you get why it's good at what it does.
Yeah.
And that grows consistently as you keep playing it. So fully understand that one. I'm a massive fan as well. So, you know, getting there with that one. So, yeah, look, I read, you know, every piece of press I could get my hands on in terms of they voted, watched the Game Awards, like, all that sort of stuff. And I just find that everyone that I speak to has a different reason and a different kind of favorite out of the 2020 lineup. And let's be honest, it wasn't the most the largest array of titles of a release year. And I think 2021 might be a little similar in that too. Like, things are looking pretty sparse if you look through the year at the moment, and there's a lot of promises and there's a lot of delays happening. So, you know, how many things actually kind of get to where they're supposed to in 2021, we'll see. And interestingly as well, no Cyberpunk. And I think that's going to need its own post-mortem for another episode. But all right, so last question is, what are we most excited for in 2021? Or if there's a 2020 release you really wanted to play but you didn't get around to?
Without having reviewed what's coming out this year and just thinking off the top of my head what I know is coming out this year, but I'm...
Well, you've got your VR headset now as well, right? So...
Yeah, still, I don't know what's coming for VR.
Sure,
just become a Beat Saber streamer now, George. That's all you need to do. get a crop top on, get your boobs out.
Yeah,
where you go?
Different set of socks.
Something that I found out recently was that there's a remaster. It's not a remake; it's a remaster, but good enough for me of the Mass Effect trilogy.
That's right. Yep, that's upcoming.
And I never got around, like, I did multiple playthroughs of Mass Effect 2 on my Xbox One, and I own Mass Effect 1 and 2 on PC, and I wanted to get Mass Effect 3 and redo the whole thing on PC. Now I've got a better way of experiencing it, so I'm actually really excited for that.
We hope have a better way.
I've paused my my current replay for that exact reason. I'm going to wait till, I think, April or so when it comes out to do that now. So, Dave, you're looking forward to anything in 2021 or playing catch-up of 2020?
Yeah, so I picked up Hard Space Shipbreaker recently, so I'd be interested to see a full release of that. I like what it does mostly, so you can get it nice and polished up and ready to go, because obviously it's still in alpha, so... That would be very nice indeed.
Indeed. And Nick, anything you are looking forward to in 2021?
I would say most excited to play is Resident Evil 8. And most interested in is probably Halo. But there's no guarantee it'll be this year.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mine, I'm most excited to play Cyberpunk 2077, weirdly enough. I think that is like what I actually would like to be playing, but have just put it in the too hard basket for for now, and I'm just leaving it there because I don't want to have to contend with all of the whinging and crying I know I'm going to do about it and save the listeners' ears, you know. Once the whinging starts, it doesn't stop. I also really, really do want to play Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, even though that was a 2020 release. That's a VR title, and I think I have enough invested in the Walking Dead franchise generally that I would enjoy that. I want to play more of Flight Simulator's updates as they come, I suppose. But yeah, look, 2021... at the end of 2021, I'm expecting there to be Battlefield 6, and I think that is also piquing my interest in terms of getting as many people as I know to be able to play it again, because we've had significant amounts of times in the Eternal Beta crew playing Battlefield titles in the past together, and so that could be a good one to bring us all back to the roots. So, all right, guys, let's leave it there. And thanks for being with us on this episode of the Eternal Beta Podcast. Hope you're having a good end of 2020, early 2021. And we'll be back with you shortly.
Thank you.
See you later.
Can I lead off? Because I'm not going to be able to make part two for a while. So the game that didn't mention, game of the year for me, Teardown.
Yeah, why isn't that in the list?
I think it just got missed. It's early access, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
Even though that counts for other games if they're bigger.
Yeah, I mean, some of mine went in there, like Crash Bandicoot 4.
No, that was in there. You just missed it.
Oh, did I? Damn.
Anyway... Since I'm probably not going to be on the podcast for a little bit.
No. I think we will. We'll be able to have a conversation, won't we?
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to record.
Even if it's just me and you? Or even on a laptop?
No, I won't have a laptop with me.
Oh, damn. All right, well, maybe we'll just do your game of the year discussion.
Yeah, which is Teardown.
Yeah.
Because it's...
All right, well, let me intro it like it's its own section.
Sure. Jesus. Nah, that's all right.